Welcome, welcome. We are back for another episode. Dr. LJ here, the holistic endo expert, and I have my girl Amber in the house. Now, some of you just came out of Endo Unlocked and you're like, oh, this rings a bell. Yes, it rings a bell. And you guys got just a sample of the gems that we are going to be dropping today. Everything about emotional eating. Now, I know for some of you, this can be very triggering because you're like, I'm struggling. I don't know what to do. I'm very restrictive. I'm doing all the things and I'm not getting any wins. Emotional eating is more than saying, I'm not going to binge that bag of chips when I Netflix and chill. I'm not going to have that candy bar. So today, you know me, I like the surface stuff and I like the fun stuff, but I like to dig a little deeper and just go ahead and get to some of those root causes. And that is what we're doing today. So if you struggle with emotional eating, if you struggle with binge eating, even if you struggle with disordered eating and you're like, you know what? I don't have any of those issues. I just don't eat at all. This is definitely for you. And even if it's not for you, you may know someone that can benefit from this. So absolutely share this episode because I know even as I was interviewing my girl Amber for Endo Unlocked, it really brought some things to my attention and reminded me of things that I had challenges with, right? I was the person that was very restrictive in my nutrition, in my diet. And even as I say that now, I would use the word diet. And now I'm like, I don't even like to use that word. I'm like, I have to say nutrition because diet and restriction and all that emotional components just kind of jump together. Welcome, welcome, Amber.
Thank you so much for having me today. It's so great to be back with you again and to go deep. I'm so excited to go deep.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your background and why you kind of took this area in your practice.
Yeah. Well, it definitely was not expected. I initially went to college to be a broadcast news like background. Like I want to be an entertainment reporter. I'm actually really glad that didn't happen, but you know, my own personal journey is what brought me into starting my business about 10 and a half years ago. So I always growing up felt really insecure in my body. I was bullied when I was 5, like the first day on the bus, this shaped my identity with food in my body. I was called ugly and fat by the entire bus. I got made fun of. And when you're 5, you don't know how to handle that kind of, you know, judgment. You just take it all inside. And I became very insecure. Food was always a friend because my mom and I always shared a very, very close relationship with food. And part of that was because she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis before I was born. And so part of her way to compensate, because there's a lot of things we couldn't do together due to some of the symptoms she would get, would be around food. And, you know, later after I healed my relationship with food, looking back, she had quite the food addiction and was shoving wrappers in her drawer and like hiding, eating and all kinds of different things, right? So it's not her fault, but part of it was inherited behavior as well. And so food was always available. Food was a friend. I was always mindlessly eating and didn't even realize I was. And then in my early 20s, I had a breakup. I was so hurt, could barely eat, started losing weight really fast. And then was like, oh, I have the perfect body. I'll finally be happy. Wasn't happy, period, disappeared, became more critical. And then I was like, F it, I can't maintain this. And I started binging and lost or gained like 70 pounds in about 4 months. And then went through the vicious cycle of like binge eating and not just eating half a chocolate bar. For me, I had a full-blown food addiction, which is where you're obsessing about food 24/7. So you're either obsessing about restricting and dieting and trying to compensate for the binge the night before, or you're planning your next binge and you're thinking about all the things you're going to go and buy and all the things you're going to eat. You may even be like how I was, and I would steal other people's food and binge on it. Like when I worked at a health clinic before I had my business, someone brought cookies and I like took them and I ate most of them and like then tried to make it look like I didn't really eat, right? And then people like, who ate all the cookies? And I'm like, shame, embarrassment inside. So I was that deep in, and I did go through a period of binging and purging. And it was like, well, I don't want to gain weights. I don't want to be bloated. So I'm just going to get rid of it. But unfortunately with that, we're completely lacking taking ownership and responsibility for what we've just done. And so I had to make this pact with myself of, I need to stop that. I need to own this if I do this, because that's just further causing self-destruction to my body. So when I had my low point moment, it really changed everything, because I think one of the biggest things I want to emphasize about binge eating, emotional eating, food addiction, whatever going on for you, is some of us, because this was me, can get into this denial state that it's not a big deal. It's not really having that big of an impact on my mental health, my physical health, my relationships, my bank account. Food's my friend. Trying to have control is my friend. This is my identity. Diets are my identity. I don't know who I'd be without this. And so we sit in this comfort zone of suffering And the fear of change, the fear of the unknown, the fear of who would I be if I didn't do this was bigger than the suffering that was occurring. And so I had one night where I'd finished a binge. I now was clear on what I was doing. I just didn't know how to stop. And I was laying on the couch crying, just so full, so upset, fearing for my life. I honestly was like, I don't know if I'm going to make 30 if I keep doing this the way I am, because it was really bad. And then I got some room in my stomach and was like, well, if this is the last time I'm going to do this all or nothing mentality, I might as well go dig through the garbage and eat the rest of the cookies. And so I went into my little apartment kitchen, opened up my cupboard door, pulled up my little blue garbage can, grabbed the cookies, ate the rest of them, and just sat on the floor and bawled and felt such an immense level of shame, guilt, and embarrassment, thinking, I just ate out of a garbage can. Who am I? How is this my life? But that moment was very important for me because it crushed all the fears of the unknown. It crushed all the denial that it wasn't a big deal. And I'm like, I got to figure this out. I don't know how or what it's going to look like, but I cannot keep doing this. And then I embarked on the journey of physically, emotionally, energetically, and spiritually healing my relationship with food. And it's what brought me to my business. And it's so nice to share your story and have other people go, oh, I've been through that too. At the same time, it's sad that 95% of the female population are or have struggled with some form of, you know, disordered eating, emotional relationship with food, or body image issues. So that's what really inspired me to want to start my business and help as many women as I can, because we don't have to suffer. We don't have to keep going through these cycles.
Girl, that was a whole word. I'm over here trying to take notes and I'm like, I'm writing as fast as I can. I'm like, I'm glad that the AI is grabbing all these words, because I'm like, ooh, this is going to be an amazing transcript. So I'm going to just go back to a couple of things that you said. You said that there was a transition for you and you had to make a shift, and you referred to where some people are like, I'm binge eating and I'm overeating. And then we have some that have a fear of food and they're not eating at all. Mm-hmm. And I want you to touch on that, because I know for me, managing endometriosis and being an endo conqueror, I dealt with both, mainly the fear of food, of real talk. I have to go to work tomorrow and do a presentation at 9 a.m. Do I risk eating dinner tonight so I can be bloated AF and miserable in the morning? Yeah. Or do I just hold out, do my water, do whatever, you know, basically starve myself through the night, not starve myself because I'm trying to diet, but just wanting to keep the symptoms under wrap so that I can show up and be present at 9 a.m. Then I'm like, oh, great. After that 9 a.m. presentation, I'll be able to eat lunch. Heaven forbid they call me in for another meeting. Oh, dang, now I can't eat again because I may have endobelly. I may be bloated, gassy, you know, all. It's nothing worse than having all those symptoms. Mm-hmm. So I would shy away from food. I've talked about this before. There were times I'd go out and celebrate parties and people would take me out for my birthday and I'd be like, oh, I already ate. I'm not hungry. I didn't feel like I could go out and enjoy my birthday. And it's not even about binging or splurging. Yeah. I couldn't eat because I never knew how my body was going to react. It was not reliable. Then there were times that I would just be like, you know what? F it all. I can eat everything I want because I'm teaching 2 or 3 workouts tomorrow. I'm teaching a couple cycle classes in the morning. Yeah. I'm going to back it up with my body pump. So I'm good, right? I can splurge. So I've been on both sides, but I really want you to speak to that for someone that is like, okay, yeah, sounds easier said than done. But if I eat, I'm going to be sick. Or if I don't eat, like, let's kind of break that down. What do those two different people look like? Because I think the symptoms are different and it can be very eye-opening if we just kind of make that checklist.
Oh, for sure. And I went through the whole food fear thing and it was like, oh my gosh, I shouldn't eat that because it's not organic. Oh my gosh, if I eat that, I could lose control. Right. Oh my gosh, I shouldn't eat that because if I do, I'm going to be bloated for 10 days and I don't want to be bloated for 10 days. So I totally get that side of it too. And I think that what's so important for us to look at on that side of, like, it almost feels like it would be easier to not eat. Well, it's so important that we really start, I think, looking at our emotional response to the circumstance. Because if I'm already thinking about the next day and eating breakfast and getting bloated, and that doesn't shy away from the reality is that it could happen. But if I'm already having an emotional reaction to something that isn't yet, I'm already spiking my cortisol. I'm already stressing out my nervous system. And I'm already like preparing my body to get bloated, even if it's like the best thing that I could eat. And so I think working on our nervous system and our mindset and trying to settle that more is so important, and going like, I'm a powerful being, even if I have this diagnosis, even if I have these symptoms, like it's so in my power to learn how to start to breathe and find my center and start, you know, even with affirmations, like I'm going to be safe. My body's going to be safe, because you could go to eat a piece of cake and get no bloating. But if you have a fear of eating that cake, you're probably going to get bloated. Just like if you have a fear of eating the carrot, you're probably going to get bloated because you're already telling your body, your cells, listen to your thoughts. Louise L. Hay is a great person to go and read more about that. But to me, that's part of it. And then the second part of it is, well, you know, you probably know your body better than anyone else. So if you are trying to work through endo and symptoms and like maybe your stuff with relationship with food and there is a lot of stress, well, maybe in the beginning, as you're learning how to navigate your body and what feels best, tap in and go, what feels best for me? What feels best for me right now? Because that's going to be up to you. Does it feel better to have a lighter meal in the evening so that you're not so bloated in the morning? Right? That's part of what you're going to have to navigate. But ideally, hopefully we can get you to the point where it's, you don't have to make those decisions based on how your body is going to be the next day or later that day, right? That we can regulate the system so there's less symptom.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Like you said, if you're already in fear, it's like you've derailed yourself before you even started. I'm not saying right now, pump yourself up and look in the mirror and be like, these Doritos aren't going to touch me. And then, you know, eat the whole bag. If you're sensitive to corn, baby, you're going in the wrong direction. However, being aware that we do have, there's that mindset part. There's the mindset part if you're dealing with the undereating and then the overeating. And so for someone that's looking to get on this journey, like where do they start? I mean, I want to keep, how do I put it? Responsibility. And I know that can be a little tough, a little sharp, but I think we have to take some responsibility before we can actually make the shift. But correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I totally agree. We have to. And it was like that garbage can moment. Like I had to own that, like, this is happening. I am binge eating. I'm emotionally eating. I do have this issue. Not that I'm latching on. I hate when people latch on to, like, you know, identities and stuff. That's why I never say eating disorder, because it feels so permanent and dense. And it's like, you have an emotional relationship with food. You can heal that if you want to. But I think to admit it is honestly the important first step, is to go, something isn't right here. It's not to blame yourself, because it's so outside of you, honestly. We're not taught how to deal with these things, but it's like, I think there is something going on with my relationship with food. Let me just admit it. And can I admit it and have compassion for myself? Because like I just said, it's so beyond what you are taught to how to deal with. And then I think from there, what's important is to start to go, okay, why am I using food as a crutch? Or why am I trying to control, right? And diet, like what's at the root of this? Is it because I have worthiness issues and I'm afraid of gaining weight because I've tied my worth up with my weight? And if I gain weight, I'm going to hate myself and I'm going to not be social or date or be intimate with my partner or, you know, grow my business because I'm going to be afraid to be judged. Like, where is that showing up for you? Is it that you are in this place where you are a massive people pleaser and perfectionist, and then you get overwhelmed and you use food to numb and have a quick break because you literally have yourself on the back burner and you're not prioritizing yourself at all? So that's your little thing that you do, but now it's exploding and now you're chronically bloated and inflamed and you have adrenal fatigue because it's happening all the time, and it's amplifying maybe your endo symptoms as well. So I think it's first important to go like, why am I doing this? What is this about? Because if we don't understand that, how can we start to take steps to address it? There are diets like keto and, you know, HCG and really restrictive diets that will create food fears. I have so many clients that came to me doing keto and they're afraid to eat an apple, a bell pepper, okay, like nourishing foods. But because these diets push this perfection, all or nothing mentality, they're now programmed that if I have this, I'm going to gain weight or a symptom's going to come back. They don't trust their bodies. They don't have any, you know, they're not attuned or aware. They're in this perfection mentality. So we can be so programmed and get so confused. So I think that's why this is important to go, am I dieting? Do I have a body image, weight, worthiness thing? Is it people pleasing? Am I really tying my worth up in how much I do rather than being a feeling? It always stems to unworthiness though. So starting to go, well, where did that come from? right? Why do I not feel good enough? And why am I afraid to deal with this? Yeah, because it's uncomfortable, right? It's uncomfortable.
Absolutely uncomfortable. So in that responsibility, we're going to take some responsibility and then we're going to figure out the why. But for some, I feel like the why is going to be more than one thing. It's kind of like yes. with functional medicine, root cause medicine, you know, there's going to be more than one root cause to your symptoms. Is it okay to just sit down and journal and come up with one why? Or do we need to dig a little deeper? Do we search for the why a little longer? How do we know when we've kind of gotten all of the whys? And then I want to take that, once we know the why, how do we tie in that all or nothing? Because I think that's very, very important as well. Even yeah. if you're eating all the right foods, because there's times where, you know, you're doing all the right things, all the right supplements, they're organic, you've got the garden, but you're still bloated. You're mm-hmm. still miserable. You're like, what's this missing piece? Yeah. And that emotional eating really does tie in.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. So I think you're totally right. From this holistic standpoint, there's never just one root cause. I think there's emotional root causes. There's physical root causes. If you're a sensitive soul like me who feels everything and anything, and you don't have good energetic boundaries and you're an empath, that can trigger you to emotionally eat because you hang out with your friend. She dumps all her crap on you. You take it all on and you leave and you're like, I'm so sad and angry. Now all I want to do is go and eat. Right. So like energetically being an empath can trigger emotional eating. So I think it's important to understand that there's going to be emotional things that fuel you to emotionally. There's going to be physical symptoms. Like when your cortisol is really high and you just want to eat the world all the time because your blood sugar is so out of balance and your cravings for refined sugar and carbs and salt are through the roof. Those are all emotional eating triggers, right? When you get on the scale and you see the number go up or plateau, that can trigger emotional eating. You have a negative interaction with a colleague, a coworker, someone leaves you a negative podcast review and you're feeling insecure. That could trigger it. So I think what's important is to start a section in your journal where you have a triggers list. And what happens, you give into it. That's okay. Try to forgive yourself. And then it's like, I'm going to go journal. What happened today? What happened the last couple of days? Did I not sleep well? What were my interactions like? Did I get the visual trigger where someone freaking brought the Halloween candy in and I just couldn't help but walk by it. And every time I picked two up and then the next thing you know, I ate half the bowl, right? Is it that, you know, hey, maybe I suspect I do have some hormone stuff. Maybe today your endo is really acting up and it really agitated you emotionally and you just couldn't handle it. And so you self-sabotaged, right? So it's really starting to look at what's been going on for me that is having me feel called to go and soothe, numb, distract, or check out with food. And so I think that's the first thing is starting to write it down and then starting to build awareness around before you go and give in. You ask yourself, is this physical hunger? Okay. So is your stomach growling? Has it been a few hours since you've eaten? Is your blood sugar dropping? You're hangry, faint, tired, dizzy, lightheaded? Do you have a hunger signal? Like, because if it's physical hunger, can you go and try and eat something that's actually going to fuel you, give you energy and longevity? But if you're going, no, I just ate. I know this is emotional, right? Because emotional eating is any reason for eating other than physical nourishment. Okay. Well, before I go to food, let me try and breathe. Can I remove myself from where the food is and the temptation and like take a few minutes and like really look at what's really going on? That is starting to take very, very great ownership and responsibility before you go to it, start exploring it. And then with the all or nothing piece, oh my goodness, I think there's a couple things here. So what I see with the women that come to work with me, some of them have been diagnosed with different conditions like endo, PCOS, inflammatory issues, like whatever it is. And so whether they are ashamed, afraid to, embarrassed to, or don't feel comfortable sharing with their practitioner or their doctor, whoever they're working with, that they're struggling with binge eating, food addiction, emotional eating, they leave that piece out, right? And don't feel bad if you have, I know it can feel uncomfortable to open up about it, or maybe you've shared it and they don't understand because they're not trained or don't know how to deal with it. And that's innocent. It's not their fault. But if they don't know, and then they're like, hey, you have this issue, you need to go on an elimination diet. Hey, we got your food sensitivity test back. You got to cut 30 foods out. Hey, you've got to go low carb or whatever. They're going to give you this protocol and be like, you're going to get relief from your symptoms if you do this. And this is the only way you're going to heal. So now you have all this pressure. You're like, holy crap, how am I going to do this? But I have to, because I have no choice. And then maybe you succeed for a few days, a week or two, and then something triggers you, you binge, and then you're in this deep guilt and upset because you're like, how am I ever going to heal? And I went through that. I worked at a clinic. I had horrible candida, the worst case they'd ever seen. I was uncomfortable yet sharing I was binge eating. They put me on this insane protocol that I don't even want to mention, but like green vegetables, protein, and like mold-free nuts. Not even fruit. Insane, insane. And these insane antifungals. I was turning yellow. I was having a horrible die-off. It was extreme. And a few days and I couldn't take it. And my cravings were so intense and I binged and I felt so horribly guilty. I'm like, I'm never going to be able to get rid of my candida if I don't follow this. So my point with this is like, if you're in that path and that can trigger all or nothing mentality. And to me, there's more balanced ways to deal with our symptoms and also heal our relationship with food without that extreme restriction. And that helps us feel safer. And we actually gain more relief because we're not so stressed and then being hard on ourselves if we mess up the protocol. And then the second aspect of it is a lot of us have had body image issues and weight struggles, and we're self-loathing and body dysmorphia. And so we have tried a lot of diets, or we grew up in a perfectionist family household where your parents are like, oh, you got an A, that's great, but do better, get an A+. And it fueled some kind of perfection behavior within you to try and prove that you're good enough. And that all fuels this all or nothing mentality. And then it's like binged, I self-sabotaged. Oh my gosh, my symptoms flared up. I gained weight. I don't feel good enough. It's frazzled. Now I have to pendulum swing and restrict, diet, over-exercise to try and compensate and make up, but then I failed there and then I go back over here. So that's what I see with the all or nothing. And there's different spectrums of it, right, that come up. And so I think it's important to understand this, because the all or nothing will keep you in this cycle until you take responsibility and also probably want to take a more balanced approach, because restriction fuels binges and emotional eating.
So you said different spectrums. Can you elaborate on that? What do you mean by different spectrums? Because when I think all or nothing, yes, all or nothing can be a positive and or negative. I always say like, get in, get out, get ran over, right? There's no straddling the fence. So I'm like, I'm either all in and I'm on the journey, or I'm all out and I'll catch you later, right? In this type of situation, the all or nothing, maybe not as conducive, but what are the different spectrums on the all or nothing?
Yeah. So I think, and I agree with certain situations, yeah, be all in or all out, right? But with this, you're totally right. So what I notice is some who will go, well, if I can't eat perfectly and be in a perfect routine with my exercise, my supplementation, my hydration, well then F it, I'm throwing it all out the window and I'm binge eating. And then there's some that are like, okay, well, I didn't get my workout in today, but you know, maybe I can still have a good day and I can get some nourishment in, but then someone brings something to work and they get tempted and they have it. And then that triggers the all or nothing. And they're like, the rest of the day is ruined. But then the next day they're able to course correct. And then you have some people who are in this place where they just think their evening mindless TV and eating time isn't a big deal. And they're like, well, I'll just kind of carry on with it for the next few weeks. And then November's coming. I'll start my habits and my diet and all that stuff then, and I won't worry about it. So you have people who are so extreme to where it's like, and I used to be this person. I get to the gym, if someone was on the certain elliptical that I wanted to start my workout with, I'd be like, F it, I'm leaving. My whole workout's ruined. The day is ruined. I'm going to go binge. Like, so extreme, right? To then like, you're binging or you're emotionally eating in the evening. But because it's something that's happening so often, it's like, it almost, you start to accept it as normal, and therefore you kind of get stuck in this rut and you're like, well, whatever, January's not far away. I might as well free for all to them because it's Christmas and Thanksgiving and all the holidays, like who cares? So there's these different spectrums where we can prolong the agony of all or nothing and our self-sabotaging behaviors, and we can swing in extreme pendulum swings, or we can have like one thing happened in the day that can just throw us off for the rest of the day. And then we can kind of like move forward into maybe a bit more of a state of balance. So it really depends on the person and the circumstances and how programmed this mentality has been for them.
Yeah, that's intense. Now, I want to take it a step further because we are recording this before the holidays. Don't worry, this episode, if you're listening to it, it came out before the holidays. But let's just do some real talk and some troubleshooting right here. So the person that's listening to this right now, and they're like, Halloween's around the corner. honey, here comes my Thanksgiving, then Christmas, then New Year's, oh, then Valentine's. I'm just going to do whatever. I will address my emotional eating in March. I know it seems extreme, but I know I'm talking to somebody, and there's not just one person out there. There's already people right now that are like, I'm just going to do whatever. This is a great episode. I'm going to download it and save it. I'll catch her around spring break. I'll catch them a little later next year, right? We're going to lose 20 pounds. We're going to do all of this.
Yeah.
What do you say to that person that is just prolonging? I repeat, prolonging the emotional component. What are some things they can do to get some micro wins, even if they're not really ready to go in 100%? What are some small changes that they can make?
Yeah. So I have two things. Well, two approaches I'm going to say here. Number one, I want to lovingly challenge you and light the fire under your butt and ask you, what does it cost you to delay your good until March? Okay. So can you journal on that and get real honest with yourself? Because ideally, I don't want you to delay your greatest good until March. And we'll get into the micro wins and little things right away. But what does it cost you physically with your health, emotionally, mentally, financially? How much money are you going to waste on binges and quick fixes between now and then that you could save and invest in a program, or, you know, in self-care practices, or maybe you're saving to get like a new appliance for your house or something that's going to actually benefit you, right? I just always like to ask that question because March is a long ways away. Like, we still have 5.5 months until that. And honestly, you could be fully free of binge eating by March if you, you know, decided to go like, my health and life is not a side hustle. I want to start making it like a priority, and it's a lifestyle changes. So that's my first response. And I mean it with love. But the micro thing. So I think what's really important is to have the basic needs, take care of them. Make sure you stay hydrated. Can you try to do your 2 liters, 68 ounces of good filtered water a day? Can you stick up with your vitamins? You know, and if you're not, can you maybe do like some digestive teas, like ginger, peppermint, turmeric, something to aid digestion if you're going to be, you know, indulging a little bit more? Can you actually get into the practices that I talked about earlier? Start your triggers list. Start asking, are you physically or emotionally hungry? Because what you're going to start to become aware of is how often you're emotionally hungry versus physically. And that's going to really open your eyes to the depth of what there is to deal with and hopefully encourage you to want to actually deal with it. I think the other thing is starting to be more aware of how the emotional eating is impacting your symptoms. So maybe you keep a little section in your journal where you're like, okay, I emotionally ate last night. Am I feeling any bloating, gas, pain, discomfort today? How are my bowel movements today? Do I have brain fog today? Do I have more cravings today? Where are my energy levels at, right? Are my endo symptoms heightened or whatever I'm dealing with? Like, what am I noticing? Do I feel more irritable? How am I emotionally? Because when you start to check in with your symptoms and you get honest with yourself and you start to correlate the connection, you're like, holy crap, I can't even keep doing this to myself. I'm not willing to tolerate throwing myself under the bus like this. And then if you do overindulge, can you forgive yourself? Explore, this is what I've learned. And based on what I'm learning, can I, you know, because what's in mindful indulgence? Well, to me, it is you nourish yourself as best you can through the day. You go to your holiday meal or your party, ideally with regulated blood sugar. Don't go with the whole mentality of like, I'm not eating until because I got to save myself and eat it all. Like, please don't do that.
Guilty. I used to do that.
Same, totally. And then I would binge horribly and feel horrible. And then I'd be in that effing mentality until like January too, right? So it's like, keep your blood sugar regulated. Put lots of protein and veggies on your plates. Add your favorites still, but like, fill yourself up with the nourishment as well. And eat slowly to aid in good digestion, to help you have that clarity of what full feels like. And take a little time to digest before you have dessert. And then can you eat slowly and mindfully? And then go and engage with people and interact and like make the experience about more than food. Because when you have a food addiction or binge eating or emotional eating, the food is like the love-hate peak of the experience. So make it about other things too, and that will help with a bit of the temptation, may feel to keep going back more and more and more. So those are my responses to that.
I love it. Let's unpack the forgiveness part. The person that is not able to forgive themselves, the one that is holding the unforgiveness, because last weekend, you know, it was supposed to be their cheat day, right? I'd love to hear your opinion too. I'm throwing all the questions in.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on cheat day? And then what about the person that is not able to forgive themselves because cheat day was supposed to be Friday. Then it turned into Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They're like, F it all. I'm doing my thing, baby. It's Wednesday, Thursday. You're still on the cheat day, knowing that the cheat day again is coming up, right? There's a forgiveness piece. And then I'd love to hear your opinion. Just like, what do you think about cheat day? Is that a thing? Is that not a thing? Is it advantageous and supportive for someone that's dealing with emotional eating?
I think it's actually the opposite. I think it actually makes it worse because now you've got this one day a week where you're allowing yourself to eat whatever you want. And it goes from, oh, I'm just going to have a couple things to like, I'm binge eating all day because I got into that and it made it so much worse. So I actually don't suggest cheat days. I think they fuel the all or nothing mentality, and then they can enable one day of cheat day, emotionally eating, binge eating, turning into, like you said, 2 days, 3 days a week. And once you fall down the mountain, it's a slippery slope because you eat more of the processed food, you get more cravings, your appetite level increases, there's more resentment and anger and frustration that you're giving in again. And then you're like, you get into this mentality where like, what's another day? What's 3 more pounds? Like, I'm already in it, right? And that ego attitude just takes over and the self-sabotage heightens. So I'm not a fan of them. I'm more instead, you know, let's actually address the self-sabotage. And with that means, you know, balance. So it's like, we want to do our best and try and eat nourishing foods as much as we can through the week, and then have, you know, maybe you don't plan a day, but instead it's like, oh, well, I'm going out Friday night to this restaurant and I know that I want to have my favorite meal and it's this, and you have it and you enjoy it and you eat it slowly and mindfully, right? And then can you celebrate that and move on? It's when we have that meal and then it triggers us to go in more. So for some people, they actually have to do a bit more of the work before they can mindfully indulge and not have it cause a huge loss of control. It really depends how severe your emotional eating is. So the forgiveness piece, when we are so hard on ourselves, and that's that negative ego voice, I like to call it, in the mind that wants you to hold a grudge, that wants you to beat yourself up and feel guilty and feel like, you know, you should just hate yourself and your body and stay in hanging on to that. We really want to start to soften that. And that can take some time to do it. So if you try to forgive yourself today and you're like, that didn't work, just know it's because you've been programmed and conditioned to hold the grudge. And there's kind of a wall and a block. So part of it is the consistent practice of forgiveness. So do it today. And I have a little process you can do. So it's like, I apologize to myself because, and you could use this for if you binge, if you're negative to yourself, if you're pissed at your body because your symptoms flared up, or for whatever it is, like you can do it for anything, but I apologize to myself because fill in the blank, this is what this situation is teaching me. Right. And then I forgive myself because, and then knowing what I know now, this is what I want to try doing differently next time. And what this does is starts to open us up. We start to take our power back. We take ownership and responsibility, and we rebuild our integrity with ourselves. And when you rebuild your integrity, over time, it does get a little easier to forgive and let go, because guess what? You hold the grudge. You keep being hard on yourself and feeling guilty because you binged, or your one cheat day turned into 5 cheat days. That's going to trigger more emotional eating because you're in all this discomfort emotion. And then what do we want to do? We don't want to feel it anymore. We just want to suppress it. So forgiveness will give you more freedom with food.
That's powerful. Now, I want to circle back to something you said in the beginning, how emotional eating affects your finances, your relationship, your career, your mental health. I want to speak to that more because for some, I've been there. You already feel pain. You're like, the nutrition doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I eat. The endo is still going to be bad. But I mean, what I'm hearing is it's talking to your pocketbook. It's talking to your relationships. Like, let's delve a little deeper with that, because for some, maybe the gaining the weight, feeling the pain, the physical stuff, they don't care about that.
Yeah. So we say, we know that it's having an impact on these other areas. Like, I spent $50,000 on binge foods and quick fixes in 5 years, right? It cost me a lot of money financially to keep being in denial that I was struggling and going to the store 5 or 6 nights a week, and the organic store at that, to justify that it was a healthier option, but it's not when you're eating a whole table full of food. When we keep thinking, oh, I'll just hire a personal trainer and then I'll be so motivated, and they are not even going to realize that like that is going to, it doesn't do anything. I spent the 5K on the trainer, didn't do nothing. I went to 2 sessions, stopped going because I fell back into binge eating and gain weight and didn't want him to see me gain weight, right? We end up having to spend multiple or money on multiple sizes of clothing because your weight's fluctuating. I had like 8 different sizes of clothing in my closet and I had to go and spend a lot of money on clothes that I didn't have, right? And then you have the whole aspect of maybe you just did a bunch of testing and now you've been put on a bunch of supplements and you've just spent a bunch of money on that, but you just have really expensive pee because you're not digesting, you're so inflamed, nothing is working because this self-sabotage is so stressful on your body in so many different ways. So now here you are spending a lot of money on that. You're trying to buy your clean eating food, but then you're not prepping it and you're throwing half of it out. And so there goes a few $100 a week out the window. And then you're stopping for fast food because you're triggered, right? So like, we can see all these costs. Maybe you've had to go on a bunch of medication because you have a diagnosis that's continuing to get worse and the emotional eating is amplifying it. And that's costing you more money. Or hopefully it hasn't happened. But for some of my clients, they've gotten so sick, they're almost on their deathbed. And it's like, what are you going to do about it? And it could cost them their life if they don't change. And we don't even want to have to think about that. And then relationship wise and showing up in life wise, when you feel insecure in your body or you've emotionally eaten and you're so uncomfortably bloated and full, you don't want to go out and socialize. You're canceling plans left, right, and center. You're talking yourself out of going on this trip of a lifetime because you don't want to wear the bathing suit or be seen, or because you're just so uncomfortable with your symptoms that you just don't think that you would feel comfortable, you know, leaving your house. You're not as intimate with your partner. You don't give yourself permission to date. If I wasn't below a certain number on the scale, I was not dating. I wasn't going out being social. I put those limits on myself because I'm like, no, you don't look good enough. No one's going to want to be with you. So, and then with current relationships, lack of intimacy, you freak out on your partner because you binge and then you get pissed at yourself. And now you're taking it out on them because you can't own it yourself. Your relationships at work suffer. Your business suffers because you're not showing up because you don't feel good enough. You're not raising your rates because you don't feel good enough. You feel like a fraud. Who's going to pay this if I'm not practicing what I preach or if I don't look the part, right? So it can cost us a lot in every area of our life. And that's something that I think is so important for us to sit and get honest with, because we play a very small game of life when we're immersed in this. It's not your fault, but like, you can't get the time back. Time is something we're not guaranteed. And I spent 3 or 4 years sitting in my apartment, binging, watching movies and wishing I was the actor in the movie, trying to like, you know, wish that was my life. And I can't get that time back. And I've forgiven myself for that and let that go. But I don't want that to be, I don't want you to have to go through that. Because the reality of it is that life is happening now and you get to play the big game of life now, whether that's like being more present, being a mom or growing your business or stepping into a career, healing your symptoms, like whatever it is. But like, I want you to enjoy your life and have quality of life. And that means, are you willing to start looking at this?
Yeah. I mean, you just took us to church and back. I mean, that is definitely a lot because it does affect more than one area. The illness, yes, it causes physical pain, mental pain, financial pain. But if you're dealing with emotional eating, if you're not, because I keep hearing, I know you don't want to hear it, but I just keep hearing the word taking responsibility. And it's not taking responsibility and beating yourself up with shame and I'm a horrible person, this, that, and the other. No. It's taking responsibility and then putting some actions, putting your money where your mouth is and being like, okay, I want to do something different. I think this is the other thing. When I think of emotional eating, it's like the person that has one glass of wine every night. Then it's a couple glasses, then it's a bottle. And then all of a sudden you run across someone and they're like, you know, bringing it to your attention that you're kind of a functional alcoholic. And you're like, oh no, this is my nighttime routine. But it's like, is that really helping? I mean, this is actually a good question. When we're dealing with emotional eating, how often do you see alcohol play a role in that?
Yeah, probably about 50 to 60% of the time. And what I notice is I've had quite a few women who have recovered from alcoholism, but then they just go to food because that void is still there and they've gone through whatever programs and rehabs they have to quit alcohol. But then if they haven't fully addressed it, food's the next thing. Or some people go and start shopping, right? So sugar and alcohol are only one molecule different. And that's one of the reasons why we can see just that easy transition from one self-sabotaging behavior to another. And I think the other thing is that maybe you're not an alcoholic, maybe you don't quite have a drinking problem, but when you drink, it skews your perception. It skews your emotional state, your physical state. And we go more into the F it, I don't care mentality. We get more of a free spirit. And then we're like, who cares? I'm going to eat whatever I want because I feel like this. Or then you're hungover the next day and you're like, I don't care. I'm going to eat whatever I want. So that can also, that's also a big emotional eating trigger for quite a few of my clients, is if they overdo it with alcohol. But yeah, if we don't address the root issues, one self-sabotaging behavior just turns into another, turns into another, turns into another. And it's true. We justify why the one glass, two glasses of wine a night, or having the bag of chips or whatever every night is fine. Because we, sadly, right now we live in a society where it's acceptable to do so. And it's less acceptable. And it's like, what's wrong with you? How come you're not drinking? How come you're not like stuffing your face with all this like junk, right? When it's like, no, what's wrong with people that we think it's socially acceptable to get loaded and then treat our body like a garbage dumpster? And that's like more of a normalized thing. Like, no, right? We all have had our party time. Like, but then it's like, holy crap, if I could do it all over again, I would have never treated my body like that, because now I know what I know. So yeah, I think it's important that we get honest with ourselves that these habits, there's an underlying reason for them, a numbing, a distraction, a coping, and there's other better things we can do.
And this is the thing, you have to put the tools in the toolbox. I'm going to end with this. Endometriosis, any chronic illness, whatever you're going through, maybe you're like, I don't have endo, but I'm dealing with emotional eating. You need to grab the toolbox and put the tools in. I say this all the time. The worst time to get the tips and the tricks and the hacks and the foundation is when you're in the fire, right? When you're in pain and you're searching Dr. Google, you're probably not even going to come up with the best ideas, right? Mm-hmm. So if you need more support with pain management, with emotional eating, with anything in your journey, get us practitioners on the docket, in the toolbox, find our Instagram, find our podcast. So where can they find you to learn more? If someone's like, this is what I need, I am not waiting till March, I'm going to get started today, where do they find you?
Yes, don't wait till March. So you can go to the website. It's emberapproved.ca. I have a free emotional eating quiz there that you can take if you're wondering if you're struggling, and or you'll get some awesome podcasts and resources after you do it. If you know you want to dive in and explore potentially going on a journey together, you can book a 30-minute body freedom consultation and we can connect and talk more about self-sabotage. Or maybe you just want to, for the first time, admit you're going through it and be held in a safe space. I'm totally here for that. You can also listen to the No Sugar Coating podcast. The best place is on my website. There's all the other apps, whole other story, but there's some censorship going on in Canada. So go to amberapproved.ca/podcast. Best place to listen to all the episodes if you've loved what we're talking about. And I'm on Instagram and it's Amber Romaniuk, R-O-M-A-N-I-U-K.
Amber, I love this episode, and we're going to drop this baby ASAP. Yeah. Because we're not waiting till March. We're not waiting till after the holidays. The same way, if you were in pain today, you would be looking for inflammation decreasing, you know, whatever. You would be doing the pain management tips today. If this resonates with you, I'm going to challenge you. Don't just listen to this and get fat, P-H-A-T, on the gyms. Share this episode with someone that can benefit. Share it on your social media. Tag myself, tag Amber, tag anyone, because this information needs to get out. And like you said, society is just in this change right now. We were talking about this before the podcast. The more information we can get out to people, the more that you're awakened. Remember that one time when you seen that post online and you were like, oh my gosh, that's me. I wish I would have known this. Do yourself a favor, share this information, and help someone else get in the driver's seat of their health. Thank you so much, Amber.
Thank you for having me.
Hopefully you enjoyed this episode. Here is something I want you to do. I know that you have learned a lot from this episode, but I need you to share this message because you know what it's like to be alone and not feel understood, not know what's going on with your body, and feel like you're trapped. Emotional eating and all of the drama, I said it, drama that comes around nutrition when managing endometriosis or any chronic illness can be overwhelming. Take a screenshot of this episode, tag myself, tag Amber, and share it in your stories. Share it with a friend. Take time to leave a 5-star review. Those 5-star reviews, yes, I love to read them. I love to hear that you're learning something, but it also helped boost our ratings so that we can get this podcast out to other people that need this information. Also, one more small piece of housekeeping. If you are looking to work with me, you want more information about my services, maybe you need some coaching, maybe you just need a 1 hour coaching session, please, please, please take advantage of the free discovery calls. Those calls help us really unpack what's going on and point us in the right direction as we look for root causes. Now, this is what makes me different. I'm not huge on chasing a pill for every ill or a supplement for every symptom. I really like to get that 30,000 foot view to see exactly what's going on. That way you can get more bang for your buck, right? That way you're not throwing supplements at symptoms. You're not out there guessing. We are going to really get down to some of those root causes that are exacerbating your symptoms. Do not, I repeat, do not wait till the beginning of the year and do that whole thing of, oh, I'm going to start in January. The time is now. You could start making changes right now and have an entirely different landscape, an entirely different world, an entirely different set of health metrics if you start today. Click the link in the show notes and I will see you guys on the other side.